where you're making a request or a prayer of petition, a prayer to change things, a prayer to receive what you need or what you desire. Hallelujah. If that's all you heard today, it'd been worth your while to get out in the ice and snow and come, because that's good news to find out that God hasn't limited His people to just what they need, but He's also said and made provision that we could receive what we desire above and beyond our needs. It's good to have your needs met. Praise God. It's wonderful, especially if you've lived an experience like most of us have, at least for some time, of where your needs really weren't met. Then when you get to position, praise God, where your needs are met, your bills are paid, that's good. That's good. Praise God, that's good. But oh, when you get to the position where not only just your needs are being met, but you're receiving your desires, and you know that it's God that's responsible for it, that's really thrilling. Praise the Lord. You know, it's good let me say it this way. It's good just to receive a desire met, but when you know that God is the one that's responsible for it, that's triple good. You know what I mean? I mean, it would have been good for Norm if he just went out on the street and sold popcorn for long enough to make money to go to that dinner banquet. I mean, it would have been good that he got to go and got to receive the blessing, but it was just quadruple, 100 times over good, when he prayed to God and asked the Father to provide it, and nobody else in the world knew except God. And the devil, and you can be sure the devil wasn't trying to get it to him. But nobody else knew, and God is the one that provided that. That wasn't just a need. I mean, he could have existed on a piece of cheese and a cracker or something, you know? He didn't have to. I mean, he could have got by, you know? But that was a desire, and praise God how much better it is when you know that God is the one that's responsible for meeting the desires of your heart. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about prayer along those lines. 8 steps to answered prayer. If you'll take these steps, you can receive anything from God for you. For you. Now, just a short way of introductory comment. We do not have authority over other people or their wills, so if they're going to receive answers to their prayers, just anything they want or desire, there's other things that come into play when other people's wills are involved. In other words, that's where if two of us will agree, we can still use our faith on their behalf, but if they're not in agreement with it, just us praying, God isn't going to take our prayer and force them to do something. In other words, you're praying, well, God, you know, force my neighbor to move. Well, maybe he doesn't want to move, you know. What you need to do, if he's that terrible, is just surround him with faith and love and pray for him that he'll shape up. Well, God will be at work on him. But anyway, so much for that illustration. This is for what you want from God. Step one, we'll review some of these a little bit. Step one is decide what you want from God. And don't be so quick. You see, the trouble with a lot of people is they're just too quick to pray. Too quick to pray. Before you just go to blurting out some kind of prayer and say, Lord, I want this, we'll spend some time thinking about it. Is that really what I'd like? A lot of people, they're just too impulsive. They need to think about it a little bit and to make a decision. Because if you don't ever think about it, you're very likely not going to be making a quality decision, one that you're going to stick by. A lot of people, they're making decisions all the time and changing them every other day. Oh, I think I want this. They see this kind of car going down the street. Oh, what is that? I like that. A green one. Then the next day, they see another car. Oh, that blue is pretty. I believe I like this better. They're just always, they never make a decision. You need to make a decision. What is it you want from God? You say, well, just whatever God wants. Well, God doesn't want you to be a puppet on the string, so you're going to have to decide what you want. Now, yes, there are times, and there is a certain kind of prayer where you need to say, Lord, thy will be done, whatever you want. That's a prayer of consecration or dedication. It's not a prayer to receive something from God. That's a prayer when you are faced with life and you say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If you want me to be a preacher, I'll do it. If you want me to be a plumber, I'll do it. If you want me to stay here in my bedroom and pray, I'll do it. If you want me to be a housewife, I'll do it. If you want me to be a farmer, I'll do it. If you want me to be a bank executive, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Now, why would you be dumb enough to pray a prayer like that? Because God knows more than you do, and He knows what you were created to be happy doing. So it's just wisdom to let Him guide your life. And if He guides you over into being in banking, or farming, or preaching, or housewifing, or whatever it is, well, you'll just know that that's where you're going to be the happiest, because that's the spot that God had in mind for you, and that's what He equipped you for, and anointed you for, and gave you the ability to do and be happy, if you're walking with Him. Now, some of you may think, well, I'm being a housewife and I'm not happy, so it must mean that I'm out of the will of God. Maybe He wanted me to be a preacher. Or maybe He wanted me to do this or do that. Well, it doesn't matter even if you're supposed to be a farmer and you're out there farming. If you're not walking in close fellowship with God, you're still not going to be satisfied on the inside. So get in close fellowship with God, get full of His Word, spend time in prayer, and walk and talk with Him, receive answers to your prayers, and then see how satisfied you are on the inside before you start trying to change from being a farmer to a truck driver or a housewife to an insurance salesman or whatever it is. See what I'm saying? How many understand? Good. So, decide what you want from God. You're not a puppet on a string. God gave you freedom of choice. He gave you a will. Some people like one thing, some people like another. So you have to make a decision. What do you like? What do you want? What do you want with your life? What would make you happy? Well, one thing will make one person happy, and it wouldn't even help at all in another person. For example, let's say if somebody gave you $100,000, that might just tickle you pink, you know, as we say. That might just make you just abundantly happy. But somebody that owed $1 million or $10 million, that wouldn't necessarily satisfy them. You understand what I'm saying? Decide what you want. You're an individual. Step number two is to find the scriptures that promise the answer you desire. Find scriptures that promise the answer you desire. By scriptures, I mean something from God's Word, the Bible. Find the scripture. You see, prayer is not a matter of begging God and trying to twist His arm. Oh, that's what many people think of it, but they're all wrong. Prayer, the prayer of faith, which is what we're talking about, the prayer that receives something from God, is not trying to convince God to do it. It's receiving from God what He's already given. And that's totally something different. It would be a whole different story for you to come up to me and try to talk me into giving you $100 than if I said I have deposited $100 in your account and the deposit slip is right here. That's a whole different matter, isn't it? If it's in your account, if it's already laid up to your credit, then all you have to do is follow the rules and regulations how to withdraw that money and get it out of your account at the bank into your hand, right? Now that, I can guarantee you, you may not have ever tried it, but I can guarantee you that would be a lot easier for you to do than to come up to me and try to talk me into giving you $100. You see the difference? And that's exactly where the main point that most people have missed it on prayer. It's not a matter of trying to talk God into giving you the $100 or whatever it is you're asking for. It's a matter of coming to God and realizing from His Word, He's already deposited it to your account through Christ Jesus. Now how do you receive it? How do you write the check on it, so to speak, to get it out of the bank into your hand? That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about trying to change God or convince God. We're talking about how to follow the directions that He's given us to receive. Find the scriptures that promise the answer or the things you're praying for. Because if you don't have a scriptural basis, then you can't believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. So you've got to get from God's Word a scripture or scriptures that definitely promise you or tell you that it's provided for you whatever it is you're asking for. You say, well, there's not any scripture in the Bible about a new car, and that's what I need. My old one's on its last leg. It won't make it through the winter. I need another car. And the cars weren't... Why, when the Bible's written, they didn't even have cars. Well, that's all right. There's scriptures in the Bible that say God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's scriptures in the Bible that say, ask whatever you will in My name, and the Father will give it to you. There's scriptures that promise you that whatever you need and whatever is for your good, that is provided. There's 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. It says, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, if you need a car to get to work or to get to the grocery store, that pertains to your life, doesn't it? Well, the Bible says He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That means godlikeness. Well, you can't picture God having to thumb a ride to go to the grocery store, can you? God's self-sufficient, isn't He? When He needs to do something, He doesn't have to go ask the devil to help Him, does He? So, we can find right there, 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, we can find right there that anything that pertains to our life or to being like God has already been given to us. How? Through the knowledge of Him, through these great and exceeding great and precious promises. Hallelujah. Well, you can find scriptures, if you'll continue in the Word, you can find scriptures that will give you faith. Not just for an old clunker of a car. We're using a car. I just started out on a car. There's nothing wrong with that. Not just for an old clunker of a car just to barely get by, but you can find in there that Jesus became poor, that you might be rich. That He's the living God that giveth us richly, 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 richly. That means an abundant supply. That means more than enough, more than you really need. Richly, all things to enjoy. Well, if you don't enjoy having to get out and push that car every morning to get it started, well, then that scripture would apply to getting you a better car. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you that even though in the Bible it may not say God will give you a new car, there are scriptures that definitely, clearly tell you and promise you what God will do. You can get into scriptures and find out that the blessing of the Lord will make you rich and add no sorrow with it. You can find out that it's His will that we be above and not beneath, that we be the head and not the tail, that all peoples will call us blessed. Well, you can see that, and you can find that out by continuing in the Word. Now, here's the thing, what you've got to do is you've got to start where you are and keep going. That's important for you to realize. Don't sit around, let's say you don't even have a car. Don't sit around and say, well, bless God, I'm just going to believe for a Rolls Royce or a Jaguar or a Porsche or a Cadillac. And you don't really believe God will do it for you. Start believing for what you can believe for. Start believing for what you have found in the scriptures that you believe. You see, just finding the Scripture isn't enough. You got to believe the Scripture. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, if you continue in the Scripture. It took me a long time to believe that God would want me to have a nice car. I mean, something more than adequate. All I'm saying to you is that don't expect yourself to believe it overnight. Some of you got that, some of you didn't, but don't throw it away. Just hang on to it, and someday it'll be meaningful to you. Start where you are. Find the Scriptures that promise the answer you desire, what it is you're praying about. And if you believe it, then go ahead and proceed on. If you don't, we'll continue feeding on the Word, continue listening to people, excuse me, like me, preach and teach, and your faith will grow. You'll come to the point to where you do believe it. You'll come to the point to where you do believe. Well, it won't be so hard for God to heal my eye. Why, if he can resurrect everybody in an atomic second and cause all their bodies just to come together and just be healed and whole and everything just in a split second from all around the earth, well, surely he can heal my little eye. That's no big problem for God. You see, you just continue in the Word. You just get more acquainted with God. You see how His power, His mercy, and His love has been displayed and extended to mankind all through the years. You find out He's no respecter of persons. He'll do for me what He did for Abraham or anybody else because He loves me just as much. And your faith grows. Your faith develops. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you could honestly say, you could honestly say before God that your faith in what God will do for you is at a higher level today than it was a year ago. You could honestly say that, honestly before God. Well, you're going in the right direction then. Just keep on going in that direction. You see, we're supposed to grow in our faith. It's supposed to develop. The more we walk with God, the more we get acquainted with Him, the more we're filled with His Word, the stronger our faith will become. Hallelujah. He said in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Now I'm going to keep driving it home because a lot of people haven't got this yet, but God didn't make man to be a puppet or a robot. God made man to be an individual and to have enough sense to make the right decisions. The only problem was Satan got a foothold and spiritual death came in and mankind's inner nature was perverted, and therefore the world that man lived in, the whole world system devised, set forth, and used by fallen man was going the wrong way against God. But Jesus came to redeem us, didn't He? He came to give us new life. He came that we might be born again, receive the life and nature of God into our spirits. And now our will is not to be broken. We're not to be made into little whimpering dogs at God's feet for God to kick around every time He feels mad at somebody. But we are created in Christ Jesus to be members of God's family. For our wills not to be broken, but for our wills to be conformed to His will. Why conform to His will? Because His will is perfect. His ways are perfect. And if we go any other way, we're going to get in trouble and get other people in trouble. And God loves other people just as much as He loves you. That's why He doesn't want you getting other people in trouble. That's easy enough to understand, isn't it? So, find the Scripture that promises the answer you desire. Now, I'm going to take a little side journey here. You say, I'm not surprised. I'm not here to surprise you, necessarily. But I haven't went through all the steps, but I'll just give you a sneak preview, and I'll tell you this, that fasting is not one of the 8 steps that we have down here to receive, 8 steps to answered prayer, to receiving anything from God. Fasting is not included. And I'm bringing this out at this point because, well, don't jump to conclusions, don't turn me off, and don't quit listening to what I'm saying. Just listen with an open mind. Now, I'm saying this because so many people, they have, and there's a lot of teaching books and stuff that really, that are out today on the market, the Christian market, book racks, that give you the wrong slant. They give you this kind of a slant. They make you think, and this is the way most people approach it, is that I'm going to twist God's arm by going hungry and suffering. I'm going to fast until God moves. Well, you're nearly 2,000 years too late. He's already moved. He's already intervened. You don't have to convince God. You don't have to twist his arm. And fasting will never change God. You could fast till you died. You know what I mean by fasting means going without food. You could fast till you died. Some people have. And God will be the same before you start fasting, while you're fasting, and after you quit fasting, whether you're by death or any other means. Fasting is not going to convince God to do anything. We don't have to convince God to do anything. He was already convinced by his love, by his very nature, before you were ever born. You say, well, but the Bible teaches fasting. Well, it doesn't teach it like a lot of people teach it. There's no instructions anywhere in the letters to the churches. No instructions on anything about fasting. It never once says that we're supposed to fast. Well, I can see this is going over like a lead balloon. All you people with your fasting books. You say, but they did fast in the Bible. Yes, they did. What's the benefit of fasting? Well, the benefit of fasting is that it changes you. You have more time then to pray and to get into the Word instead of spending all your time eating and digesting the food and going out and buying some more and then fixing it and eating it and digesting it and so on and so forth. You just have more time to pray and to get alone with God and to get quiet and to find out the truth of the matter. It's not that you're changing God. You're not going to be changing God. So it's purely a personal matter, obviously, because there's no instructions given in the New Testament in the letters to the churches. That's the covenant we're under, isn't it? Now, if you like to fast, you know, it's good for you physically for a up to a certain point. You know, to miss a meal once in a while, that's good for you, basically. I mean, a lot of us could use missing at least one meal, especially after this week, past week. But anyway, if you think, which I have in the past, and I know many, many, many people have and do, think that you're going to change God by fasting, just forget it. The Bible doesn't say it's impossible to please God without fasting. The Bible it does say it's impossible to please God without faith. The Bible doesn't say whatever you pray for, when you pray, fast, and you shall have it. It says believe. See, it's faith that receives from God. It's faith that causes you to receive from God. Faith in what? Faith in His Word. Faith that He meant what He said and said what He meant, and you believe it and you're going to base your life on it. I'll use Norm again as an example. He won't mind. In his testimony, he was telling, the guy walked up and said, are you going to this meeting? He said, yes. Well, that's kind of a silly thing to say when you don't have a ticket. You see, that's the attitude of faith. He believed it. He believed on the inside. Well, what was he basing his belief on? Well, not that he had a ticket in his billfold, but that he had confidence and trust in God. He'd ask him for something. He knew it was God's will, and so he said yes. So, in the Bible, they did fast. Yes, they did. But you have to realize this, that most of it was under the Old Testament, anything we have record of, and we're living under a different covenant. Now, fasting is going to enable you to be more spiritually perceptive in a sense. It's going to enable you to have time to get more spirit conscious. And that's good. That's good. But if you approach it thinking, well, I'm going to fast, and God is going to see that I'm hurting so much, and He's finally going to give in and give it to me, you're going to be sadly disappointed. And I don't want you to be disappointed. So, I believe that's about enough on that subject. Step number three is ask. Ask God for the things you want. You say, but God already knows what I want. I know He knows it, but He still said ask. He said in Matthew 6:8, Jesus did. He said, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. But just a few minutes later, the same day, the same place, the same sermon, Jesus went ahead and said in Matthew 7:7, ask. I believe if we follow Jesus' directions, we won't get too far off. What do you think? He said, ask. And a lot of us, a lot of the time, we've been mumbling, I wonder why I don't have this, and you know, that person, God did that for them, and here they are, they got a car to drive to work, and I love God just as much, and I'm still having to walk. You know, why did God do that for them? Well, have you asked? Well, you gotta ask. Why does God want you to ask? Because He wants you to know that when you ask, He answered. See, if you never ask Him for anything, let's say you don't ask God for anything, and somebody gives you $1,000,000. They give you a new car. They give you a new house. Bunch of stuff. Well, the devil is going to come along and say, well, that was just coincidence. That was just luck. You just happened to be in the right place at the right time. But if you ask God and you say, Father, I'm going to ask you for this. I'm not going to go out and badger my friends and relatives, try to convince somebody to do this for me. I'm going to ask you to supply me with that $100. I don't know where it can come from, but you do. I ask you. Then when you get it, you know that that wasn't just coincidence, especially if it happens over and over and over. So God wants you to ask, and He wants you to be specific so He can give you the specific thing you asked for, and you know that He answered your prayer. And I'll tell you, that's when your joy gets to getting full. That's when, even though you're like me and kind of reserved and dignified, you're liable to just start jumping and shouting, hollering, dancing all over the place. Hallelujah. Why? Because you know that God is mindful of you. God is answering your prayers. God loves you. Oh, that's good to know. To experience. To live through it. So, Jesus said, ask. Ask and it shall be given you. He said, through James 4:2, He said, you have not because you ask not. I've thought of that many times. Many times I haven't asked. I've just been going around through life wishing I had this, wishing I had that, wishing this would change or that would change, and I just never did ask. I never did just take the time and sit down and just ask. I remember, I'll give you an example. I remember I was living in Tulsa going to school, and I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, it wasn't so much sickness, but it was lack of money. I mean, when you don't have any money, well, that's lack. And I was tired of it. And here I'd been going along, and the amazing thing of it was, is I had been listening to Kenneth Copeland's first series on prosperity. I'd given away all my tapes while I went there, so I borrowed these tapes out of the church library where the school was at that time. And I've been listening to those tapes, and on tape number 6 in his first series, many of you that know it have listened to that, you know what I'm talking about. He goes through several steps to take in praying and so on, and one is, you know, you decide the amount of your daily bread. How many of you have ever heard that tape? You decide the amount that you got to have, you know. Decide what it's going to take for you and your household to operate on. Well, I've been listening to those tapes every day, over and over and over. And I heard him say that, and I believed it, and I thought, you know, that sounds good, and it worked for him. But guess what? I hadn't done it. I just been sitting around, well, I just been waiting, you know, and wishing, oh, I wish things would change. Oh, I wish I'd had some money. Oh, I wish I could pay this bill. Oh, I wish I could go to the grocery store and buy something decent to eat. But I hadn't asked. I hadn't got specific. Finally, I remember one night, late at night, I was so sick and I got so mad at the devil. I got so fed up. It was late, but I didn't care. I went into my typewriter, and I typed the deal up and put the scriptures in it and said, you know, this is how much money we got to have, and well, I believe I receive a heavenly grant for this amount every month, and this is it, you know, and signed it and got my wife and signed it. I finally asked. I finally got specific. I finally decided, look, I'm going to do it. And you know what? I kept a record. I mean an accurate record. And you know, from then on, every month we had that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it would have worked for me the same way before, but I never asked. I never got specific. And I'll tell you, since I brought that example out, it's real good for you to do it that way and to write it down. Because otherwise, you know, you forget and you waver and so on. And then it's always a blessing when you come back and you see after you've received it. Praise the Lord. I remember looking through some old notes and stuff, and Judy and I prayed concerning a house and July 7th. Well, actually, it was nearly the 8th, you know, because it was about past midnight, I think. But July 7th was the date we put down concerning a house. We finally got definite and prayed. Well, in April, we got it, praise God. Living in it now. But if you write it down then and get specific, you say, well, I don't know exactly what I want, this or that. Well, you can be specific insofar as saying, Lord, I pray for the perfect car for me. I pray for the perfect job for me. Well, that's being specific. At least you're giving the Lord something to work on. Instead of just a real job, you know, just any job. Be specific as you can. If you really want a red car, well, write down red. Don't just say, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'll take a green or a purple or yellow, anything. I know you would. I know the same feeling, but God wants you to be specific. And He's just as able to get a red car as He is a green car. If it doesn't matter to you whether you get red or green, but the main thing is you want automatic transmission so you won't have to shift gears. You want one with snow tires and chains so you won't have to get stuck so easily. We'll put that on there. Say, this is what I want. See, you need to decide. You might think you want a Cadillac, and really what you wanted was a four-wheel drive Jeep when you really get down to it. You need to decide. Be specific. Don't just jump into something. Think it out. Think it through. Then decide what you want, and then find the scripture. And then step three is ask. That's simple enough, isn't it? Step four, how many of you believe that you're not smart enough so far to follow these steps? Okay. Step four, I do it that way because a lot of people, sometimes they're afraid to raise their hand no matter what. I mean, if you said, you know, are you alive? They wouldn't want to raise their hand. Afraid I'd make them come forward or something, you know, give away their money or stand on their head or, you know, God's not near as much trying to embarrass you and make you look like a fool as He is trying to bless you. So just don't be so afraid, will you? Step four is to believe that you receive. Let's look at Mark 11:24. I said, let's look at Mark 11:24. You say, well, I memorized it. I don't care. Let's look at it. Mark 11th chapter. Matthew, Mark. It's easy to find. Just turn to the New Testament. Second book, Matthew, Mark. 11th chapter. Step number four is to believe that you receive. If you leave out any of these steps, it's not going to work. Do you get that? Just because you do step 1, 2, and 3, it's not going to work unless you do the other steps. You got to take each step. Each step is important. Just like baking a cake or something. I can't speak as an expert, but I think if you leave out yeast and baking soda and a few little ingredients like that, it's liable to turn out a little flat. Right? Well, maybe don't put yeast in a cake, bread. I don't know what you do. But anyway, if you leave out some of the ingredients and you just decide to put in milk and eggs, well, maybe that's part of the recipe. But if all you put in is part of it, you may just get scrambled eggs with milk and not have a cake at all. And that's the way it is in answered prayer. You see, it's not God that's withholding from us. It's the devil that would keep it from us. But if we set ourselves in a determined way to receive by faith, then there's nothing Satan can do to stop it, because God's word is out, and we're standing on God's word, and so we're sure to receive. Step 4 is to believe that you receive. Now, Jesus is speaking in verse 24 of the 11th chapter of Mark and says, "Therefore I say unto you," who's he talking to? You. Right? He didn't say, "Therefore I say unto James, Peter, and John," because they are my three favorite apostles. He said, "I say unto you," anybody. You say, well, he was talking to the apostles. Yeah, but he qualifies who this will work for in verse 23. He says, "Whosoever." So he's talking to whosoever will listen. If you'll listen, he's talking to you. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever." We could put it this way, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, you'd think that would be so clear, but I never will forget, of course, I've seen it more than once, several times, Fred Price, and I'm not going to do this and embarrass you today, but I've seen Fred Price ask people, several people out of the audience, "Okay, what did Jesus say that you're going to have?" And people would say all kinds of things. They'd say, "Whatever you ask for, what things soever you desire," so on and so forth, "whatever you pray for," and so on. And they were just almost always wrong. Of course, I always knew, but he didn't call on me. I did know. Just ask my wife. She knew I knew. But well, I'll tell you, I'll just have to tell you this. I didn't always know. But before I ever heard him try to trick people like that, I'd found out. So I knew. Well, what did Jesus say that you're going to have? He said you'll have what you believe you receive. That's all you'll ever have. You're not going to have just what you pray for. I could stand here and say, "God asked for $1 million, I asked for 20 oil wells, but tomorrow, you know, I asked for this, I asked for that, the other thing. Am I going to get it? What did I believe I received when I prayed?" See, that's what Jesus promised, that you will have whatever you believe you receive when, not afterward, but when, not when you feel different. But when, not when you see it, not when you can touch it, not when you can hear it driving down the street, but you'll have what you believe you receive when you pray. When you pray. That's what you'll have. Now, actually, the truth of the matter is that Faith is now. We know that. Faith is always in the present tense. So actually, it doesn't matter whether you're praying or whatever you're doing. If you will pick a certain point in time and release your faith and say, "I believe I receive now," no matter when it is, well, then that qualifies. I'm going to illustrate that by an example Kenneth Copeland talks about. Well, I've actually done the same thing myself. I guess I could use myself, but I don't know. It seems like when you hear other people talk about it, you think, well, it always worked better for them. But, here's the thing is he did it on a light string switch. You pull one of those pull cords on a light. He said, Lord, when I pull this light string and turn this light off, I'm going to believe I receive my healing. Well, I've never done it on a pull string, but I've done it other things. Well, there's nothing in pulling the light string that's going to heal you. I can tell you that much for sure. But there is something in making a definite stand at a definite time, a definite point of time of releasing your faith and saying, I believe I receive now. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You got to believe you receive at a certain point in time when you pray. In other words, it's before you ever see the answer. So, you got to believe you receive at a certain point in time before you actually get it or you see it with your physical senses. You're believing you receive it. You're not seeing you receive it. You're not feeling like you receive it. See, that's where we miss it a lot of times. We pray. Let's say we pray for healing. Well, then our mind says, do you feel any different? No, I hurt just as much. Well, you must not have got anything. Well, if you don't believe that you received anything, well, there's nothing going to be manifest in your life. You know why? Because you're shutting off the switch of faith, and it's only by faith that that thing is operative and comes into your life and is manifest. Do you understand that? Or are you really... Is this really as hard to understand as you're sitting there looking like it is? Well, I just trust that the Lord's getting it through to you. You got to believe that you receive when you pray. If you don't do that, just forget about ever receiving anything from God. And I'll tell you, don't expect to feel any different. You're just going to have to set a time and say, I believe I receive. If you don't, you won't ever receive. See, so many people, they're always looking to the future. Well, I believe God's going to do it sometime. Yes, I know God's going to heal me sometime. I know God is going to prosper me sometime. I know sometime He'll do this. Well, as long as you're doing that, that's good as far as it goes. But God is living in the right now. And so you've got to release your faith now. Believe that you receive it now. And then you'll have it. Let's read that again. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The shall have them comes after you believe that you receive. If you never believe you receive, you never shall have. Step number 5 is to refuse to doubt. This is just as important as any of them, because if you believe you receive at, I won't say the time now, let's say you believe you receive at 9:30 Tuesday morning, well, I'll guarantee you, you're going to be tempted to doubt. Oh, you didn't really get anything? I went down, I'd never been skiing before, nearly 2 years ago, to retreat down by Buena Vista down there. And I never told anybody, but, well, I didn't want to tell anybody anyway because I'd made such a fool of myself falling down the mountain. And I looked like an abominable snowman. And then I came out there. Everybody was waiting. They'd been waiting. Sorry, Larry and Diane. They'd been out there freezing, and I had the keys, and I had to make one last run, of course, and I came, just barreling down the mountain right at the bottom, and right there at the bottom, everybody's sitting watching while I wiped out royally. But anyway, I didn't want to tell anybody. frozen salad anyway. But finally that night, I decided I must have broke that thing. It's hurting me bad. I couldn't hardly go to sleep. So I just decided, all right, I'm going to believe I received my healing. And I looked at the time, so I did. And, well, I just kept on. I'd feel the pain, you know, for the next couple of days. And whenever I did, I'd just say, thank you, Lord. I believe I received my healing at such and such a time, you know, that night. Thank you. My thumb's healed. Well, it was. You say, well, it probably wasn't broken anyway. Well, I don't know what it was. I'm not trying to prove to you it was, but it sure hurting, and it was sure swollen. And I couldn't move it anyway. It worked, you know. Not hurting anymore. That's the main thing. Not trying to prove anything. I'm trying to walk free from sickness and pain because I'm redeemed from the curse. So you got to refuse to doubt. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. James 4:7 says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, see, a lot of people are waiting to act on that verse until somebody comes up to them with a pitchfork, you know, and a long tail with a thing on the end of it. Whatever you call it. And so on. And say, I'm the devil. And then you would resist him. Say, no, get out of here. Well, anything that's of doubt or discouragement or fear or anything that's not according to God's will, know that Satan is the one that's behind it. And if you resist that, you're resisting him. So if it's doubt, that means that Satan is the author of it. I don't mean that he's personally sitting on your shoulder, but I do mean he's the one that's behind it. He's the one that's responsible for that doubt. So if doubt comes to you, oh, you're not going to get anything. You're not going to get anything. Well, nobody will give anything to you. They never have. They never will. Well, God didn't hear your prayer anyway. Remember what you did last week, last month, last year? Well, remember before you got saved, you did that. Why, God will never do that for you. What is he trying to do? Get you to doubt. So you've got to refuse to doubt. You've got to say, I refuse to doubt. I don't care what it feels like, what anybody says or anything. My God said in his word, if I believe I received when I prayed, that it's mine. And he said, and then, see, this is where it becomes very vital that you found scripture that you're basing your prayer on. Then you use that scripture and you say the word of God says, and then say it, whatever scripture you're standing on. You say, the scripture says this, my God shall supply all my need. See, you speak your faith and refuse to doubt. Hallelujah. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart. If you let doubt enter in, into your thinking, into your believing, and into your talking, you blew it. Start over. You've got to refuse to doubt. If you expect to see the answer to your prayer, you're going to have to refuse to doubt. And I'll tell you, it's not easy sometimes. That's why you've got to have a firm foundation of God's Word that promised you what you're praying for, and to know that you believe you received a certain time, so you've got something solid to stand on. It'll come along, well, you haven't been doing good enough, you haven't been reading the Bible enough, you haven't been speaking the Word enough, you haven't been doing this enough, you know, you haven't this, you haven't that. Well, the whole thing is to get your eyes off of Jesus and what He did and onto you and your failures, and so you'll begin to think, that's right, I'm not good enough to receive this. I'm not strong enough. I'm not holy enough. God probably doesn't care anyway. But you need to refuse to doubt and say, no, it's not because of what I am or what I've done. It's because of God. It's because of Jesus. It's because He's my Savior. He's the one that's washed me from my sins in His own precious blood. He's the one whose name I prayed in. I didn't believe I received this because I was good enough to receive it. I believe I received it because God said I could have it. And I ask in Jesus' name. Jesus deserved it. So you got to refuse to doubt. Think on things that are good, pure, lovely, and of good report. That's what Philippians 4:8 admonishes us to do. Not to think on, well, what if it don't work? What if you don't get it? Just say, what if ain't my problem? What if is God's problem? If He don't come through, He's a liar. I'm not worrying about it. Say, I believe I received. And Jesus said, if I would believe I received when I prayed, I believe I received because God said in His Word this and this and this. Here it is. I believe I received it. I wrote it down. That's when I believe I received it. And as far as I'm concerned, I did my part and God's going to do His part. I'm going to have it. That means I'm going to be able to sit in it. That means I'm going to be able to put it on. That means I'm going to be able to eat it. That means I'm going to be able to put it in my bank account. That means I'm going to be able to contact it with my senses. I can taste it, see it, feel it, hear it, whatever it goes with. Now, 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that we are to cast down imaginations, cast down reasonings, one translation reads. We got to do it. That means throw them down. The thought comes to you. If it's against God's Word says such and such, you've got to throw that down. You've got to say, no, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to accept that. God said this. God said this, and I don't believe that. I believe I received when I prayed, and I shall have. You got to do it. Step number 6, I just decided since I kept you late, which is getting to be, seems like a habit with me anyway, I won't apologize. I'll just try to hurry and finish that. I'd go ahead and try to get through the rest of these steps this morning. It won't take us long. Step 6, of course, you must realize that several of these are tied together. They work together. But we break them down into different steps so we can examine them more closely. Step 6 is to meditate on the promises. Or you could put it this way, think on the answer. Think on what God's Word said that you based your prayer on. Think on that. Don't think, well, it's impossible. I remember Gloria Copeland. She was believing for a house and, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And it just kept, you know, the thought just kept coming up. She said, well, you know, it's impossible. You know, how can that be? How can that come to pass? And she'd use the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8 that says, but God is able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And see, she just kept using that verse and thinking about that. God's able. She said, I know God's able. He's an operator. It may be impossible in the natural, but it's not impossible with God. God is able. God is able. What was she doing? Well, she believed she'd received and so on. Now she had to meditate on the promises. She had to fix her thinking on what God had said. She had to think about the answer. You know why? Because if you don't force yourself to think about the answer, you get to looking at the situation so much, you'll begin to doubt, you'll begin to waver, you'll begin to wonder, you'll begin to faint, you'll begin to think, well, I guess it isn't going to work. I just can't hold out. I guess my faith is just not strong enough. Well, it is going to get weak if you think about the problem all the time. That's why step 6 is so important. You've got to meditate, think about the answer. Meditate on the promises. God said in Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words. Pay attention to what God has to say. Does God have anything to say about healing? Yes. Pay attention to what He has to say instead of what 22 doctors say that you're going to die before next year. I didn't say cuss the doctors out and tell them off. I just said, pay attention to what God has to say. Look at the answer if you expect results. If you want things just to stay the same way they are, just ignore all these things. I think sometime I'll have to teach on that subject. This would be a good title for some of you aspiring young preachers. Is you can pick however many steps you want, you know, 7, 8, 10. But let's say 10 steps to unanswered prayer. Just teach on that. Now, that'd be easy. Don't believe you receive when you pray. Doubt. Don't think about the answer. Well, we're taking it from the positive side. He says, pay attention to what He has to say and so on and so forth. So you've got to continue to do that. And this is something that you've got to make a decision to do. Because I'll guarantee you, pressure will come against you to try to not do it. pressure will come to try to get you to not act on these steps. These steps are not hard, they're simple, but you've got to decide, I am going to do it. You see, there is a matter in the Christian life of victory in Christ Jesus, walking by faith, that you have to make a decision, and it's been put this way, and you can say, well, that's negative, that's not faith. Well, I understand what you're saying, but it's still true. You have to make a decision, live or die, sink or swim. This is the way I'm going. God said it, and I'm going to base my life on it. Either he comes through or I sink. You have to make the decision that this is the truth, and I'm tired of letting the devil rob me, and I'm even willing to suffer. Now, don't jump to conclusions. I'm not talking about suffering with some sickness or something. I'm talking about the suffering of the pressure that's going to come against you. If you want to know the real truth, that's probably the main reason why I didn't ever sit down and write out that prayer for my monthly daily bread, that like I talked to you about before. You know why? Because if I ever made the commitment, the decision, see, I have been just floating along saying, well, you know, whatever, God will be fine, and, you know, you'll take care of us, and so on and so forth. That way, if it didn't work, that didn't mean that my faith failed. In other words, I entered into that. I was committed. I had to stand in faith. Instead of just lollygagging around all the time, I had to resist the temptation to doubt. Why? Because I'd put my faith on the line. I said, I believe I receive this heavenly grant. I believe God's going to supply that much money to me every month. You see, I was committed. If you don't know what commitment is, one of the best illustrations I ever heard is, well, I'm thinking of another good one now, but is if you're on the high diving board, once your feet leave that board, you're committed. There's no way you're going back up. And thinking about skiing again, I don't know if any of you have ever went skiing and you was a real novice. You didn't know anything except how to fall down, and you hadn't learned how to do that gracefully yet. And you found yourself up at the top of some slope that was for, you know, intermediates or experts, and there's no way down to the bottom except down there. And you're looking about straight down. You think, oh, there's no way down but this. Well, once you're at the top, I mean, you're committed. You're going down one way or the other. And that's the way it is when you get on God's Word. You make a decision. You say, this is what I want. This is what I believe I receive. All right, the devil knows it. All the demons knows it. You're committed. And then they start in on you, trying to talk you out of it. God won't do that for you. It won't work. Well, you're at the top. And you're just going to have to go down one way or the other. Either you go down with the answer and get to the victory and you receive it, or else you just fall in the heat and make a big mess. Just walk in defeat. So you have that choice. Step number 7 is to give God the praise. If you will praise God for the answer, that'll help you through the waiting period, the time from when you believe you received to the time when you have it. Praise God for it. The thought comes along, you're never going to get that. Just open up your mouth and say, I thank you, Father, that I believe I receive that. And I just thank you that it's coming my way now. I thank you that it's mine in Jesus' name. I just praise you. Well, I just want to thank you that I'm saved. I want to thank you that I'm filled with the Spirit. I want to thank you, Father, that you love me and you've given me all things richly to enjoy. Just begin to praise God instead of sitting around and thinking, well, do you suppose maybe it won't work? Step number 8, and like I say, especially these last 4 steps, from step 5, step 6, step 7, and step 8, they actually operate all at the same time, continuously after you prayed and believe you receive. Step 8 is to say what God says. This is important. Say what God says. How do you know what God says? He said it in His Word. Step number 8 is to say what God says. Somebody comes up to you and says, well, I saw you went up there to be prayed for the other night and for healing. Did you get anything? What are you going to say? Well, has God said anything? Find out what He says. and say what he said. You say, but I'd be lying. No, you're just agreeing with God. You can just say, well, God's Word says. You see, a lot of people don't realize it, but you're not under any law that just because somebody asks you a question, you have to answer them. You're not under any obligation just to tell everything you know to everybody you meet. In fact, you'd be a lot better off if you just learned not to be such a blabbermouth. I wouldn't point my finger at anybody, so, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. Otherwise, don't get mad at me. Say what God says. Why? Because we have got to, as Hebrews 10:23, we've got to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. For he's faithful that promised. So, and then I like Proverbs 30:32. It says, if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Get the picture? If you're tempted to say, well, it's not working, what's the matter? You know, God must have went on vacation to Mars, and here I am, I'm going down the drain. Just take your hand, either right or left, and hit yourself in the mouth so as to wake yourself up. And just keep it there until you get over, until you can get to thinking about what God's Word says, until you can turn in your Bible and say, well, this is what God has to say. Somebody comes up to you and says, are you healed? Say, well, God's Word says, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Well, I didn't ask what God's Word says. Are you healed? Well, I'm not telling you about me. I'm telling you about God's Word. Well, don't be mean to him, but because faith works by love. But see, just say, well, God's Word says, my needs are met. He supplies all my need. Say, God's Word says, believe you receive when you pray, and you shall have. I believe I receive. They may say, why, you don't really believe that? You really believe somebody's just going to give you a car? Say, no, not just somebody, a great somebody, God. He said in his word, if I believe I receive what things soever I desire, when I pray, I'd have them. I believe I received. The heaven's up to him. And in the meantime, I'm just praising him. I'm just thanking him. I'm just refusing to doubt. I'm just saying what he says. I'm just thinking on the promises, meditating on the answer, and refusing to doubt, and I'm just praising God. Hallelujah. If you take those steps, you're sure to get what you desire. If you don't take those steps, you may get something, you may not. And then you'll go around and say, well, you know, God doesn't always answer prayer. Oh, he answers all right, but sometimes he answers yes, sometimes no, sometimes maybe, and sometimes wait a while. That's just a cop-out. That's just being in a place like I was talking about, afraid to make a commitment, afraid to make a stand, because when you make a stand and say, this is what I believe I receive, then you made a commitment. And then either you or the devil one is going to come out on top. One or the other of you is going to come out on top. I'll tell you this. You don't know anything as sweet on this earth as when you come out on top after standing in faith. I mean, on the inside of you, you're going to be, it's going to be thrilling beyond description. When you stood in faith, when you believed God's Word, and everybody, all the forces of hell, it seems like, were arrayed against you. It seemed like nobody was on your side but Jesus, but you just kept standing on His Word. And He was faithful to it, and even though you were tempted to give up and quit many times, you didn't. You just stood on it and stood on it, and you just said what He said. You just kept thinking about the promises. You just kept speaking His Word. And then you see the answer. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah.